And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me today is David Holley. In this episode, we're going to be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham on the road at Deepdale against Preston North End. We'll also be discussing the new signing for Fulham, which is Josebed Sanchez Ruiz. Yes, David Ruiz. We'll be talking about that in just a few minutes. But before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. David, how you doing? Thank you for filling in at the last minute. We've had some technical difficulties, so thank you very much for joining me.
It's always good to help out and come on. I wasn't expected to do the show, so it's a bonus for me too. I opened my trivia book for you, Russ, very quickly, and I have one question,
David,
for you today. We'll make it quick because we have a short show, okay?
Yes,
just
this
tell
be a short
me,
show.
This might be an easy one for you, Russ. Who was the author of the famous story, Marathon Man?
I don't know, David.
You don't know?
I should know. What was it?
Well, but not knowing, I'm afraid, is your first Goldman of the night.
Okay.
It was William Goldman.
Okay. Marty Ward will be happy. I've been DMing back and forth with Marty today, and I said, I do about at least five Goldmans a show, and if I don't, that's actually an excellent show. So that's number one, David.
Well, we had a Goldman, and it wasn't really a Goldman, but it was still a Goldman.
Okay, David, let's get into talking about this signing. This has been talked about amongst ourselves for a while now. We've heard speculation that he was actually training with Fulham. So before I share some information on Josebed with you, what are your thoughts about this whole entire situation? He's now officially signed. The club put it on their website. What are your thoughts about the signing? And then I'll fill you in on some quotes from Josebed.
Well, glad it's happened, obviously, because it was rumored that it was all completed a week ago, but they were waiting for some sort of international clearance. I don't know if that's true. Believe he's an attacking midfielder. It's very interesting to see where he fits into the scheme of things or whether he's going to play alongside someone like McDonald. Are we going to dispense with someone more defensive like Tunnicliffe? Is he going to play there? I don't know, but I get the impression that's his kind of position. I don't think we'll see him wide unless it means he would liberate someone like Kearney inside, of course, perhaps, to play a more central role. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he's anything like his namesake in his style or his manner. And whether, of course, I assume it being announced today means that he is eligible for tomorrow.
That's a very good question, David. I would assume so. I guess we'll find out tomorrow. But it's very interesting because, again, we've heard speculation about this for such a long time. Now it's a done deal. So, David, before we move on, I just want to mention that I'm going to be just sharing some information with you on Josebed. Direct quotes from him, that's on the Fulham website. But I want to share this information from you that's actually on cottagersconfidential.com from writer James Eade. He wrote a little bit about this, so I just want to share some information that he shared about him. Again, this is from James's article. Go on cottagersconfidential.sbnation.com to read a little bit about Josebed. He said, last season, Josebed made 27 appearances for Rayo Vallecano, scoring 9 goals and managing 2 assists as the side were relegated from the Premier Division. The midfielder had an outstanding pass completion rate season, managing to complete 85% of his attempted passes last season. Josebed made 16 out of his 27 appearances in an attacking midfield role, tallying 7 goals in the process. Have Fulham finally found their goal-scoring midfielder with a creative spark? That's the question that he's asked. So please do check out James's article on Cottagers Confidential. David, I'm going to share with you some quotes directly from the player. Again, this is on the Fulham website that will just tell you a little bit about him. Then I want to get your thoughts on this. Here's what Josebed had to say. Quote, thank you very much for the lovely welcome, Josebed told the club's official website. I'm very happy to join Fulham. It's a new experience for me, and to be playing for such a historical English club is a real honor. When I heard the club was interested in me, I was very pleased. To be a football player and to hear that a big club is interested in you, it was a real privilege. This move creates new dreams and hopes for me and for my career. Fulham is a big club, and I knew it from their Europa League campaign in 2010. Then he goes on to describe himself. I consider myself a technical player. He stated, I like to have the ball at my feet and help the team in any way I can. I like to dictate the game, and I hope I can do a great job for the fans. It's a new league and a new way of playing the game. Having taken part in training and spoken to the gaffer, I can see the style we want to play, and I think I'll fit right in. I'm looking forward to it. I hope to play for Fulham in a similar way to how I did in La Liga, with a high passing rate and a quick forward movement. I play anywhere in the center of midfield or slightly forward, Joseph Ed stated. Last year, I played in a more attacking role, just behind the striker. It was new for me, and I did well and scored a few goals. I adapted well and feel comfortable to play here. I'm comfortable as long as I can contribute to the team effort and keep movement positive. Okay, and there are a couple more quotes, David, but that gives you the idea from what Josebed had to share on his arriving to Fulham. What are your thoughts about that, and also what I shared from James's article to tell you a little bit about Josebed?
Well, obviously, it kind of fits with the info I found out about him as well, that he's someone who plays central midfield, come sort of second striker, come cam, really, that sort of role, somewhere in that region. So, in fact, you know, if you just look at it as a comparison as how we lined up next week, last week, there's a Goldman there, I think you call that one. I'm predicting the future from the past, or predicting the past from the future, something like that. But just as a comparison of the team that started against Newcastle, in fact, probably the closest player to that would actually maybe even be Aluku, because he kind of was playing more or less as a striker, but he was a little bit off Smith as well, because we definitely had the two much deeper midfielders in McDonald and Tunnicliffe. So I think, say, it's there where we're likely to see him figure, but I'm not sure if he will figure tomorrow, although he has obviously been training with the team, I believe, all week, despite it not being finalised. But it sounds like he's, you know, someone who, you know, wants to really create his stamp on the game. He's there to pull the strings, make things happen, or that's at least what his intention is. I guess in that respect, he sounds somewhere a bit like his old namesake as well, who played before. But his namesake didn't really get a chance to dominate and pull the strings as much as he would like to, because I think, you know, the pace of the game never really suited him. But that's certainly what, you know, the other Ruiz like to do as well. So let's see how he can do, because, you know, we still, I think, need that man there who can unlock the defence. You know, you can't rely on Tom Kenny to do it all. You can't rely on McDonald. We still last week, you know, tended to go a little bit central, a bit narrow, slowed things down outside the box at a time when you're looking to unpick those teams. And, you know, if you've got people with pace, you want to get them in behind the defenders, and you need to play the right balls for that. So I think that's probably what, you know, the signing is about, someone who can pick the passes and control the game.
And I tend to agree with you, David, but here's my question to you. And, again, we don't have that much time to go through this. How does this affect the role of Tom Kearney? How does he work with Tom Kearney?
Well, I think one of them will obviously stay wide, and that tends to be Kearney. Obviously, Kearney likes to wander all over the place. It doesn't sound like this, Sanchez Ruiz is going to be playing as a wide player, or that's not, you know, his intention. He sounds like he likes to play central. So I think we'll see Kearney stay out wide, and he'll be one of the central midfielders who will sacrifice, or one of the strikers, basically.
Okay, very good, David. And listen, I'm looking at whoscored.com to track where he played last season. As an attacking midfielder, like we're talking about, he had 16 appearances. He actually had 5 as a defensive midfielder in a central role. And just a central midfielder, there were 3 additional appearances. So, David, it sounds like he could play several roles, but sounds like to me his best role last season was this attacking midfielder. So you think that's what Slavica is going to use him at?
Well, you know, I'm not a mind reader and I don't have a crystal ball, but I think, you know, it's been fairly, there's been names touted around, hasn't there? We've heard other names who tend to be central midfielders. Attacking central midfielders have been banded around. Who are possible signings, possible targets. You know, we had people at Derby, you know, I think, was it Hendrick, wasn't it? They talked about at one point. We heard, yep, Lansbury mentioned at Forest, that kind of role as well. So I think that's where we're looking, to be honest with you, because at the end of the day, you know, a Luke who can offer running from a wide position or from central. Kearney, they seem to, you know, want to have him in that sort of right-hand role. So I think it is in the middle where they're looking for someone to add a bit of flair, assuming Kearney stays out wide. Otherwise, you know, it could be too many cooks in the middle. But I
right.
think he's obviously, he's looking to Slavisa to bring this chap in to supplement what we have already, not to replace Kearney or anything like that.
Oh, I totally agree with that, David. I think this is to work with Tom Kearney. So I'm just curious to see how this is all going to work together. Maybe we'll find out tomorrow. It's a very interesting situation. But everything that I've read, David, and I've seen a lot of talk about this on social media. I actually saw someone from BN Sports USA that actually tweeted out that this is a very good signing. I've seen so many tweets talking about that this is a positive signing for Fulham. Do you feel that way? We won't know until we actually see him play, but do you feel pretty good about him coming into the side?
Well, I mean, I've obviously yet to see him play and yet to make my own judgment on him, but yes, I think it's certainly a positive signing because he's a player that is there to be creative, to score goals and to set goals up for others. He's not being brought in to marshal the back four or sit in front of the back four or whatever. This is a player with flair, supposedly, and attacking intent. So, you know, it's an exciting signing, I guess, because at the end of the day, it's these kind of players that get the accolades normally, the ones who get forward and do things. The defenders who go about their business don't tend to get the same acclaim that the more attacking players get. So, mind you, that could be wrong in Fulham's case. You know, with the
yep.
defence we've had the last couple of years, someone who actually can defend is worth the wait and go, and I think we appreciate them a lot more than we probably would normally, because we were a bit spoilt in the days of Hanglin and Hughes when we had a good settled defence. So, you know, it's not to say, but for traditionally, I think guys like this who play in an attacking sort of midfield role tend to be the ones who get the plaudits, because strikers, you know, they finish the balls off, they put the ball in the back of the net sometimes, but, you know, the hard work is often done by the person behind them, and so it's them who really, you know, are the linchpin to the whole thing.
Okay, very good there, David. All right, before we preview this match, and I also want to mention, I was talking about that there was speculation, it was on social media, especially on Twitter, that he had been already training with Fulham. That's rumor, that's speculation, but it sounds like possibly that's what was going on there. So I just want to mention that about Joseph, but now he is officially a Fulham player. David, before we preview the match, just want to get your overall thoughts on the League Cup victory the other night.
Well, I was very impressed, actually. I mean, apart from the last few minutes of Fulhamish action, you know, I was quite shocked, really, with such a changed team and young players that, you know, what a positive start we made. And, you know, to be 3-0 up as well and a great strike, obviously, from Corley, the pick of those goals. Okay, towards the end, I don't know, it was strange because we actually brought on people like Tunnicliffe towards the end, and it didn't seem to help the situation. It seemed the youngsters
no.
did really well.
He
I mean,
did.
It's very disappointing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was very disappointing that we let in a couple of goals, obviously, and that they were really... We were kind of back to the old bad habits from last year again. And, you know, it doesn't take a genius maybe to work out, unfortunately, that, you know, we had Stearman and Ream there in the centre of defence instead of the two who played against Newcastle. And we looked a completely different proposition, you know. I mean, I didn't watch the game, so it's difficult for me to make sweeping
sure.
statements like that. But I saw the goals and... you know, it wasn't good enough.
David.
It was, they just weren't
oh.
good enough. It was like last season revisited.
Right.
It really was.
Right.
You know, and
right. I actually meant the three goals that we scored, but the two goals we gave up, David, were familiar. You're right about that.
No, that's right. And that was the only sour taste from it. The fact that obviously we got a good lead, and we managed to hold out at the end with such a young team and say 11 changes, wasn't it? You know, four guys. Making their debut, I think it was. Four young guys. A little bit of a gamble maybe by Slavisa, but obviously at this stage, his priority with a thin squad is to try and make a good start in the league, and you can understand that. It'll be interesting
yep.
to see what happens for the next round if we have more players coming and whether he takes that more seriously, because I don't think it'll be an easy match unless Middlesbrough make lots of changes as well. And I think being at home against a bigger team, obviously, and it's a shame to say, but they are a bigger team at the moment. I think, you know, that'll be a much sterner test. But, you know, it's always good to get a win and two wins to start the season. It's probably the first time we've had back-to-back victories in any sort of competitions for ages. So, you know, well done to the guys.
Okay, very good there, David, and congratulations to them. And these youngsters held up in the end, you know, and it'll be interesting to see what Slavisa does in the next round against Middlesbrough. But I want to give congratulations to this team for fighting through it. It was very difficult in the end. Those two goals late really brought back some bad memories to me, thinking about some of those full matches in the past. But, you know, they held out in the end and got the victory, and in the end, that's all that matters. We move on. All right, David, it's now time to preview the upcoming match against Preston North End. Tomorrow at DPL, we are recording this Friday night, so the match is tomorrow at 3 p.m. UK time. So I'm going to start with just sharing you some information from WhoScored.com, and I also actually got some info. I asked some questions to a website and actually got some responses, so I'm going to share that with you. That I think that's going to help with our preview here, and we're going to do this in 15 minutes' time. So I'm going to start with WhoScored.com. And it says the strengths for Preston are protecting the lead, stealing the ball from the opposition. Their weaknesses are keeping possession of the ball, finishing scoring chances. Okay, their style are long balls, and they are aggressive. The prediction from WhoScored.com was both sides had contrasting fortunes on the opening weekend. Preston lost at Reading, but Fulham upstaged Newcastle with a Matt Smith header. Preston did bounce back with a victory over Hartlepool in the League Cup, with a youthful Fulham edged out Leighton Orient 3-2. Slavisa Jokanović has revamped Fulham over the summer, and their attacking strength might make them favorites at Deepdale. WhoScored.com is predicting 2-1 to Fulham. So that's their prediction, which I find interesting. Now I'm going to go to this website, David. It's Lily White Magic. Okay, and I heard from Gary at this website. So I'm just going to go through some information with you. Here's a question I asked him. Tell us the players to watch in the match for Preston North End. His answer, Gary's answer, undoubtedly Jermaine Beckford will be one. I think our poor goals scored ratio was probably due to him being out injured. Other than that, Daniel Johnson, who is our most creative, well, only creative midfielder. Then I went on and says, where do you see the strengths of Preston North End? Hard to say. We generally tend to be hard to beat and rarely, if ever, get thrashed. However, we're now a bit weak at the back after injuries to Woods and Clark. It's hard to pass any proper judgment until I've seen our new signings, Ben Pringle in particular, play. Then I asked him, what Fulham players are you concerned about in this match? And he responded, well, thankfully we won't have to be concerned about Ross McCormack, so I would have to say Matt Smith. Very interesting. Then I asked him, if you're Fulham head coach Slavisa Jokanović, what would be your strategy to take advantage of the weaknesses with Preston North End? His response, with the loss of Callum Woods for the season and our right winger Chris Humphrey untested at this level, missed the whole of last season, I think it goes without saying that is our weak spot. If I was Slavisa, I'd certainly be targeting that area and be able to dictate play down that wing, making good use of space and getting crosses in. Then I asked him to predict the formation and the starting 11 for Simon Grayson for Preston North End. He said possibly a 4-3-1-2 with Gallagher sitting behind the front two. Lindegaard, Grimshaw, Huntington, Wright, Cunningham, Pringle, Brown, Johnson, Gallagher, Hugel, and Beckford. His prediction for this match, David, this is a fan for Preston North End. He's predicting 2-0 to Fulham. Okay. Hmm. So, which I find interesting. Okay.
Is that a Goldman as well?
Should I have said 0-2? Would that be better, David?
No, I wasn't correcting you on that. I was just on the fact that is there someone who's, you know, equally like a positive? No, actually, no. He's more of a Hully then, isn't he? Really, if he's predicting his own team are going to get beat, I think.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah, no, that's a gold one by me, I guess. Then, really, I got it the right way around.
Yes. And let me just thank Gary one more time. Please do go check out the website Lily White Magic. It's lilywhitemagic.co.uk. I want to thank him for at the last minute sending me those answers. What did you make of what he shared in his answers to me, David?
Well, I mean, he's Yeah, he doesn't sound too positive, really, does he? He's a bit of a downer there. He thinks we're going to win. You know, he's talking about, you know, he's obviously being realistic. I mean, that's, you know, that's fair, rather than someone who just comes out and thinks they're going to win every game. Concerns about the defence, untried players. I haven't seen Pringle yet. And, of course, you know, the thing we haven't mentioned, and I'm not sure how much relevance it bears on it, but the 5-0 thrashing, of course, in the friendly match in Ireland.
That's right.
You know, and I don't know how much of this we can take into this, you know, but will it be in their minds at all, the Preston guys, that they got turned over by Fulham? Or is it, you know, have they, you know, they've washed it away completely? The trouble is, obviously, now, you know, we've had two wins on the trot. We've beaten supposedly the best team in the league first game. We've changed our team and we've still won. We beat Preston 5-0 away in a friendly. The Preston fan is saying, you know, they think we're going to win 2-0. It's turned into a giant banana skin for us, really, hasn't it? And I'd like to go along with it and say, well, look, all the signs are good here. They're positive. That, you know, apart from it being up northwest where we don't always like to travel, you know, we should almost be favourites for this match. But it becomes a very dangerous scenario. And last week I said I think we're going to get beat, and I'm glad that I was wrong. And in fact, you know, we did well. But I'm frightened to say this week I think we could win, and then, you know, we could end up with egg in our face.
David, I'm glad that you brought up what happened in Ireland, because I was thinking about that as well. Who does it benefit more? Because Fulham dominated that match. I spoke to Brendan Cronin about this. I asked him if he thought that Preston North End were going for it. He told me they were going for it. They were taking it seriously, and Fulham thrashed them. So do you think Fulham actually can still get something out of that and say, you know, hey, going into this match, we know we can beat this side? Or does this get Preston North End all upset and they're going to use that as extra motivation when they play Fulham? Who do you think can benefit more from this, or neither?
I don't know. I mean, this is dangerous, isn't it? Because Fulham, if they think, yeah, we beat them 5-0 and it was only a friendly, going to the match lightly, it depends on their mindset, really. But I think we've got, you know, a tougher, grittier bunch around. Now we've got a few new faces there. You know, we managed okay in Ireland as well without McCormack, I think. So it's not that even we had him playing and then he disappeared. So I think, you know, we should be confident that we can get something from this game. And again, you know, when you look at what happened last week, you know, the players will be like selling themselves short if they then don't turn up after what they did last week. It makes it all in vain if they then, you know, shrivel up and die up at Preston. You know, they've really got to come out and stand up and be counted again and show that last week wasn't a fluke. You know, all the people who were saying, well, yeah, you know, it was a bit lucky, or Newcastle should have had a penalty, and, you know, Newcastle were unlucky, and blah, 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 all these things. Show them it's not a fluke, you know, stand up and be counted against a much weaker team on paper, apparently, although it's difficult to go away from home. You know, stand up and be counted, and you know, be strong, be like you were last week, and see if you can repeat what happened in Ireland, or at least a victory anyway.
Okay, very good there, David, very good. It's a very interesting matchup here. They should be confident going into this. Not overconfident, they should be confident because they played against this team and they had their way with them, but it's a friendly, so how much can you really take from it? You should have confidence that you can play against this team well. Now it's just about execution. Let's hope that they can, David. All right, my friend, who are your key players tomorrow for Fulham?
Well, I mean, I think it's like again last week, really. It's a blend, isn't it? It last week was the closest we've had to a sort of a proper team performance, I think. There weren't really individual stars last weekend. I know, obviously, like, Odoi got all the plaudits for his, you know, bit of skill, and obviously Kearney, you know, for some of his efforts, and Maddle, of course, for his defending. But it was a team effort, and, you know, perhaps, you know, a bit disappointing from Tunnicliffe, but everyone else really pulled their weight apart from that. So it's hard to sort of focus on who, because we're looking now at a very balanced team with people who do different roles rather than being a bit sort of one-dimensional. We have the people
who do
the work, and we have the people who provide maybe the pace and the flair. And it's about finding that balance. And, you know, one doesn't work with the other. There's no point having, you know, a hard-working defensive midfielder you know, who wins the ball if the attacking players aren't making the runs or aren't taking people on. It's about the yin and the yang, isn't it? So I know it's hard to pick out anyone really in particular in this case. It really is. I mean, I don't really want to pick on anyone because I think they're all equally important.
And that's very interesting that you say that, David, because it's a real team now. It has to work together from the back with the goalkeeper all the way to the front. They have to work together in unison. So it sounds like you are looking for just a team effort here. And that's different than last season. Not that they weren't a team, but you were led by the players up front. Well, it's a different type of team now, David. So I can see why you're going in that direction where you don't want to point out any one particular player because you need them to work together as a unit.
Certainly. You know, the defense can do their job well, but if the midfield and attack don't do their job well, then it's a hard game for the defense, and the best we can hope for is a 0-0. Obviously, you know, we have to try and win every game, of course. It's not going to happen, I think. I think I can safely predict we won't win every game this season. But I'm happy to be proved wrong, obviously, you know. But I don't think we'll win every game. But at least we have to set ourselves out with the aim of trying to win every game or doing the best that we can in every game. And it's where, as I say, they all have to pull their weight. We do have a different mix of players now than we did last year and a few new faces. And so far, you know, in its early days, you know, they blended in pretty well as a first start last week.
Okay, very good, David. David, I've got a bonus topic for you. It won't take us too long to talk about it. Again, this is a shortened show, but I want your thoughts on this because I actually had a poll on the Cottage Talk Twitter page about this, and it does go with our preview. Who should be the starting goalkeeper against Preston North End tomorrow? Should it be David Button? Should it be Marcus Bettinelli, or even Jesse Uronen? I put up all three options. I'll share the results in a second. But who do you think should be the starting goalkeeper?
Well, there's only one answer to this one. And, you know, Button started last week. He kept a clean sheet. He has to be given another go. And if nothing else, it's because I want to scrutinise him. Obviously, I'm not going to be there tomorrow, unfortunately. But I want to scrutinise him and see if he's actually what we need or if we still need to improve or give one of the other guys a go, because he wasn't tested that much last weekend, not really. Maybe, I think, one smart save, but he didn't really have to come out through crowds of players and claim the ball. But you know, he's played in a win. It would be cruel not for him to play again. I know Joranen came in the week, and as that thing you quoted said, that it contradicted himself. It said he had a strong game, but when I saw him, he was flapping around a bit on their goal. He came out, didn't get to it. Spearman didn't get to it. Ball was headed over them. I don't quite think he's ready to be thrown in, and I don't think it's fair on Button to change it. So I think Button has to start for tomorrow.
Okay, very good, David. My poll, 249 votes. There were a good amount of votes, David. Marcus Bettinelli got 11%. Jesse Uronen only got 1%. David Button got 88%. And I'll just share this with you, because I got people sending me all kinds of tweets and on Facebook, and I would say 90 to 95% were Button. And you'll like this. Briefcase Ben actually sent me a picture of a Button.
Huh. You know, that's Ben and his sense of humor for you.
Yeah, that was good, my friend. All right, let's move on. What do Fulham need to do to win this match, David?
Well, you know, they've got to carry on from last week. I know we're away from home, and for some reason there's this different mindset about tactics away from home. Maybe you need to be more reserved. But I think we've got pretty much a reasonable setup to play that counter-attacking football. So we need to press and stop them playing as much as possible without being, you know, overly attacking, I think. We don't want to leave ourselves open, but we want to just press from the start and seize every chance to counteract. So I think that is really the way forward. If we can counteract, get in behind them, use the pace of the guys, it's going to be interesting to see what the starting lineup is, as whether that changes the way we play at all. But I think, you know, the logic suggests with the changes that were made on Tuesday that I think we're going to see it reverting more or less to what we saw last Friday. I'd be very surprised if there's many changes to that, to be honest with you.
I totally agree with you, David. And on top of that, I want to go right back to you because I watched a good amount of video on Preston North End yesterday just to get more familiar with them. And the one thing that I noticed is that there were a decent amount of crosses in the box. Our old friend Ben Pringle, good amount of crosses in the box. You now have seen Fulham only in one match against Newcastle United. Do you feel confident that we can deal with the crosses in the box better than last season, or is one match not enough to gauge that we've improved in that area?
One match isn't enough, really, because we weren't tested a lot last weekend. Newcastle didn't really play with big forwards up front. The question mark does sort of present itself still, whether Karras and whether Maddle, how they would cope with a team that are an aerial threat. You know, we know Maddle's, for his size, inch for inch, he's a good defender. He gets up well for his size. Karras seemed to be fine last weekend, but as I say, they weren't really tested in the air, and we didn't see a lot of crosses in either from Newcastle. So it'd be interesting to see how they deal with lots of crosses and high balls in the box. So too early to say for now. This is where, obviously, I'm hoping that we'll see our friend Mr. Button, whether he's able to assist in this wing, because if he can assist and come out and take the balls, as I've said before, it takes a lot of pressure off the defence, and that can counter for an awful lot of things in the team. When you have a keeper that doesn't take the ball, it puts more pressure on the defence. So be very interested to see what happens tomorrow.
I am too, David, and that's a great analysis. And that's something to watch tomorrow, the crosses in the box. And will David Button come out a little bit? Hopefully he will command that box, and that will help that defence, and we'll see how it all works with the central defenders. I'm curious to see how they deal with these crosses. All right, David. Starting 11, you already mentioned that you think that Savisa will go with his initial starting 11, but here's my question. Would you start, say, Collie Woodrow over Matt Smith?
Yeah, I think that would be the big talking point, really. If there was to be a change, would Collie get a go? I mean, he scored two in the week. He scored a cracker, but let's remember Matt Smith, he scored the winning goal against Newcastle. I don't think he had a fantastic game overall. He was Matt Smith like we know him. He was in the air. He was a bit lumbersome at times, but he did his job when he was called upon. So it's hard, to take the guy who's won you the first match of the season against arguably the best team, take him out and put someone else in. But that's probably the most likely change, if there is to be one. Otherwise, I'm just wondering, will Tunnicliffe play? Probably, I imagine. But, he did feature, obviously, against Newcastle, and he came on a little bit at Orient. So whereas Parker didn't play then. So I assume Parker would be rest, but I don't know. Or, what would they do there? Would they put someone else in the middle? Will they start with Sanchez Ruiz, or I think he's going to be known as Josebed or whatever, isn't he, from now on?
Yeah.
He's all go to bed or whatever his name is, yeah? Because I don't think it'll be an away match at Preston will be the place to start. We may see him come off the bench, but I could be wrong. Obviously, we may see him go straight in there, but it'll be, an interesting change. The other one I was going to say was, obviously, Sessegnon tweeted that he was, unable to play last Friday and was disappointed, but not sure whether that meant as a sub or whether actually he was going to start. And will they revert to Malone? He didn't do a lot wrong, really, but I think, Sessegnon is hot on his heels. He's been quite impressive since he's come in.
Yeah.
But I think the most likely thing would be to start with an unchanged lineup. That's probably, my money would be on that, but only just between that and one or two changes.
Okay, very good, David. Back to Tunnicliffe, I'm curious your thoughts on this, because you mentioned it when we were talking about the Leighton Orient match briefly, talking about Tunnicliffe comes on for Dennis Adoniran, who had a very good game by what I've listened to and everyone that I've talked to. Is that something to be concerned about, that the fact that he comes off, Tunnicliffe comes on, and they score two goals? Should we be a little bit more concerned about Tunnicliffe?
Well, I mean, I didn't tip him to start last weekend. I'm still not convinced that he's done enough to be, a regular starter in the team. Squad player, most certainly, but not a regular starter. And he was the disappointment out of them last Friday. He really was. I mean, I don't like to pick on individual players, particularly unless they're called Jazz Richards, obviously. But, he was the disappointment for me. I thought they all did well last weekend, really.
Right.
You know, even Malone had been, people had been touting him that he wasn't being so good, but I thought he came good, especially second half. But Tunnicliffe, he had a bit of a stinker first half, and he wasn't that great second half, and it wasn't a surprise he was taken off. Whether that was just, you know, tactical reasons that he was going to do that anyway, I'm not sure. But, no, he was a disappointment. So I would have thought at the moment his place is the one most in danger.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with you. And listen, you know, Ryan Tunnicliffe has done a job for Fulham and deserves credit for the job that he's done. He is who he is, David. I just found it interesting that the youngster played well, gets taken off in the end. I understand that. Tunnicliffe comes on, they score two goals. I don't know if I don't listen, I didn't see it. All I saw were highlights, so I don't know. But I just find it interesting that he comes off and Tunnicliffe comes on, they score two goals. So just food for thought, because I was going back to the other match that Emilio was talking to me about Tunnicliffe. He wasn't completely sold on Tunnicliffe, and you just shared yours thoughts from that first match as well. Just something to key on. Ryan Tunnicliffe in this match against Preston North End. Hopefully he will hold up well. All right, my friend, it's time to go to predictions. Let's go to predictions. Let's end the show with predictions. Let's start with the Cottage Talk Twitter page, my friend. I had 201 votes. It's a decent amount of votes, David. Loss, 4%. Only 4%. Draw, 17%. Win, David, 79%. That's a huge number. 79% are predicting a win. So we're all pretty excited, and we all are feeling good going into this match. So I'll take that, and I'll go to the Cottage Talk Facebook page. I have a ton of predictions. I'll try to go through as many of them as I can. Matthew Vidiella has 1-1. Daniel M. Marie Baker, 2-1 to Fulham. Chris Baugh says 1-0 to Fulham. Tom Ward, he's going for 3-0 to Fulham. Samuel Beattie's going 3-1 to Fulham. Jason Helms, 3-1 to Fulham. Ryan Fulick, 4-0 to Fulham. Stephen O'Keefe, 1-0 to Fulham. Richard Gilbert says 3-1 win for us. So Andy Robbins, 1-0 to Fulham. Andrew McKenzie, 2-0 to Fulham. John Wright, 1-0 to Fulham. Brendan Morris, 2-1 to Fulham. Charlie Beaven, 2-0 to Fulham. Gary Cooper, 2-0 to the Whites. James Flanagan, 1-0 with Kearney scoring. Simon Haneed, 3-1 to Fulham. Scott Brown's going for a 0-0. Phil Harper, 2-0 to Fulham. Gerald Graves, 2-1 to Fulham. Like I said, I have a huge amount of predictions here, David. Dan Pantone, 2-1 to Fulham, or maybe 3-1. John Smythe, 2-0 to Fulham. Claire Bartlett has 2-1 to Fulham. Let's see. Matthew Camp, 5-0, just like preseason. Curtis Hurd, our Cottage Talk host, 1-1. Marcus Michaelis, 1-0 to Fulham. Billy Marsh, 2-1, late winner. Richard Bamber, 3-1 to Fulham. Ollie Brady, clean sheet, please. I'm there with you. And Gags Hohen says, honest football like last Friday, I believe we'll win 2-0. David, I give you all those predictions, and not one predicted Preston North End. So what is your prediction?
Well, my prediction is people are getting very excited early on. It's caution. Don't get too excited. I fear otherwise we'll see an early return of the men in the white coats, I think. Just a point on the white coats. Gary Cooper, I hope this is not your high noon there, because you've said come on the whites, but of course Preston playing white, so hopefully you didn't mean Preston there, Gary Cooper. But for me, I'm going to urge caution, and being the conservative person I am, I'm going to sit on the fence and I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Okay. David, you're playing it safe, 1-1, and I understand that. And let me ask you before I give you my prediction. Would you be happy with a 1-1 draw on the road?
Based on all the facts beforehand, no. I think it would be disappointing. But I think for where we've been, it would be a step up. If we can, you know, I think Emilio, someone made a crude analogy. If you win your home games, you draw your away games, you know, you're going to end up in a pretty good position. So I think it'll be a positive start. It'll be the worst-case scenario for me, really. Less than that,
okay,
and we'll be disappointed. But I'll tell you one other prediction I have, or one other thing that's great. I suddenly realised this last week after we did the show. You can't put the hex on it anymore by saying a hat-trick for Dembele or a hat-trick for McCormack, can you? You can't ever say that now, Russ. So that's fantastic.
I can't.
Fantastic.
That's a very good point, David. Maybe that will be good luck that I can't do that anymore. I can't. And you know what? I'm not going to do it anymore. Fulham are going to win in a different way, David. There isn't going to be one player scoring, and that's actually a very good thing for me. So I'm going to go with the same prediction as WhoScored.com, David. I'm going to go 2-1. I think this is going to be a tight match. I actually respect Preston North End. It's a difficult place to play, DPL. I know we won there last year. I think we can do it again, but I don't think it's going to be easy. Can I take something away from the thrashing in Ireland? A little bit. They should have confidence that they can go there and win. A thrashing? No. They're not doing that tomorrow. They're definitely not doing that tomorrow. But I think that they should have confidence that they can go there and win, dictate the play, and win this match. And if they defend those crosses well and keep Beckford quiet, David, they should win this game. So I'm going with 2-1. And I think that's a fair prediction.
That's fair. And one last comment. Thank you again for Ben, Briefcase Ben, for his button. We now have Benjamin Button, of course.
That's very good, David. I do want to mention one thing before we go. We were having all kinds of technical difficulties today, and I want to thank Mike Gregg, who wanted to come on, but we could not get the system to work with Blog Talk Radio. You and I finally did, and David, thank you for filling in at the last minute. I can't thank you enough for doing that, so I definitely want to thank you for that, and want to thank Mike for the effort for trying to join us, but we just couldn't make it happen. Mike wanted to talk about Joseph, and he also wanted to talk about what he witnessed in the League Cup match. So, Mike, I'm sorry we cannot make that happen, but I look forward to you joining us again. I also want to mention that Yana Shanaeus wanted to join us in the worst possible way, and we could not get Yanis to connect. And I did not start the show by doing this, but I'm going to end the show doing this, David. I am dedicating this episode of Cottage Talk, to the memory of his father who recently passed away. And Yanis, my thoughts are with you and your family during this difficult time. I'm there for you, my friend. And hopefully you can join us soon. Hopefully you can join us Sunday. We're hoping you can join us again Sunday. David, before we go, any final thoughts?
No, hear that. And yeah, best wishes to Yanis. And our thoughts are with you, of course. And well, hopefully Mike as well will be available on Sunday if you get the chance, because, of course, he's going to Preston. So he may be able to give you a first-hand account of what happens there. If he's free, I'm not sure, but might be a great show then. But thanks for having me on, as always, and thanks to everyone for listening in. And we'll speak again soon, of course.
Absolutely, David. And the comedy team of Holly and Goldman will rise again. That's all I'm going to say. But listen,
the comedy team of Holly and Holly, you mean? Yeah, you're just the butt of it, unfortunately. It's like you're the straight man, aren't you, more, I guess?
Yeah, that's actually a good way to look at that. All right, David. Very good. And again, thank you. Under the circumstances, with all the technical difficulties I have leading up to this show, it really was a great show. So thank you, David.
Thanks again, Russ. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. But it's time to wrap up this show. For David Holly, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, David. Have a great night, my friend.
You too. Good night.
Boys and